This month, Space Chaser will release their new album, Give Us Life, via Metal Blade Records. Celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year, Space Chaser is contemporary thrash metal with old-school influences straight from Berlin. On this record, the band turned to Dan Swano of Unisound Studios for mastering. The resulting 10 tracks will surely please new and old fans alike. Purchase your copy of Give Us Life now at metalblade.com/spacechaser. Once again, the new album from Space Chaser, Give Us Life. Pre-order it now. metalblade.com/spacechaser.
This is the Metal Sucks Podcast with your hosts, Petter Spych, Brandon Hahn, and Sylvia Alvarado.
Metal Sucks Podcast. Hello, 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 friends out there. It is I, your host, Petter Spych. I am always joined by, on the right, the co-host, Brandon Hahn.
Pete's got it like a good, when he starts the thing, he's like,
yeah.
Petter Spych. Brandon Hahn. And you could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at your buddy Gooch.
On the left.
Sylvia.
That's hey. Actually it's I'm my not, right.
It's Gooch's right.
Yeah, no, I was lying. I started off slow and I try to make it peppier.
We're getting it.
And you guys what have do to I
do?
Correct
how,
me.
How do I do the Pete way of saying my name? Like Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Yeah.
It always
Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Where can they follow you, Sylvia?
Twitter and Instagram at it's the Sylvia.
There you go. Oh, and make sure to follow our other host guys, Jocelyn Sharp. She's on the road right now doing comedy this week in Arizona, guys. That's at Jocelyn Sharp, Jocelyn Sharp. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The Wizard of Jaws on TikTok, and she is the only representative of TikTok on the Metal Sucks podcast. So, and she does a lot of TikTok.
She loves the TikTok. Yeah. I hate it. I don't want to ever do it.
You've never watched anything on TikTok?
I watch. Okay, here's the thing. If it's somebody like, you know, slipping on a skateboard or something, thank you for that. But TikTok videos, for the most part, it's like, it's just stupid.
I don't know. There's some funny shit.
It's all just hot chicks dancing. No, and it's like, it's dumb.
There's some funny stuff.
I'm not saying there isn't funny stuff. There is the occasional thing. But again, again, my bar for entertainment is like way higher than what TikTok offers. It's like
this week's guest. I'm sorry.
It's Duke.
I knew that TikTok was going. This week's guest, guys.
Up your standards, guys.
Always, always a great time and a pleasure. Periphery, I love that band so much. Misha Mansoor. And we're here to celebrate his solo record, guys. Misha Mansoor, a.k.a. Bulb. The record, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, is out right now. It just came out this past Friday, July 16th, guys. Make sure if you guys haven't streamed it or picked it up, you do so ASAP. We're going to play a couple tracks after the interview. But before the interview, as always, guys, let's talk a little bit about that Metal Sucks news.
Tell me who's insidious, tell me who's an idiot, tell me how to feel, it's the news. Make me feel great, make me feel hate, feel my own agenda, it's the news, like your new gods speak.
It's hardcore.
I love it.
This one's good, dude. This one's solid.
First story.
We played this one before, like a bunch.
Oh, we played it a bunch. Yeah, we played it a bunch.
Maybe I really paid attention to
you,
it right now.
Yeah, you just checked out the entire
time.
I think all the listeners.
Like, all right, let's do it.
Just tune out. We have like six of them, you know, that are all good. We have one great fan submitted one, and I think we've played them a lot of times, but I think every time the listener's like, which one's Brandon going to play?
And we don't know, and I got to start making some new ones as soon as I can.
First story we'd like to talk about, guys. New Orleans' very own, a band we love, I Hate God, is going to be touring this fall with Gwar and a couple other bands. But for their hometown show, they're going to have ex-adult film star Stormy Daniels running the merch booth. Now, crazy to me, because I Hate God, underground, beloved band of our scene. But I feel Stormy Daniels, because of her whole I don't know, what's the Trump angle? Anti-Trump, but she was like a mistress of Trump's.
Trump was banging her. Right? Yeah, Trump was banging her while his wife was pregnant.
Oh, that's okay. So I don't know the whole sordid details, but obviously it's someone that can show that he's not a very stand-up guy. How's that?
Yeah,
she put out a book, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that she got the key to the city of West Hollywood.
What?
Yeah, she
I
got
didn't
the key.
Know that.
I looked it up. She got the key to the city. So she's she has the key to the city of West Hollywood, California. Stormy Daniels. But
wow.
She's running the merch booth at the New Orleans, Louisiana show, I believe, of I Hate Gods. It's a headlining show. So they got to be friends because they're not going to be paying. I would feel her appearance is going to cost a pretty penny.
Yeah, I would imagine that her appearance would cost how much it would, like, their whole merch. So it's like anything that they would sell in merch would
it
probably
would
just go
back
to
her.
Yeah, like, right? I mean,
but this is a fantastic idea for underground bands to get pseudo celebrities to do their merch. I feel like if this was implemented for bands, and I know that she's an ex-adult film star, but I'm not saying just get adult film stars, you know, to run with the metal booths, you know.
Are you thinking about like D-list celebrities?
In essence, yeah, but to have someone at a, I don't want to say adult film stars or D-list celebrities, but I meant celebrity. I meant like people that have a little bit of like, oh, how interesting that will be.
Yeah, Lamb of God's got Alfonso Rivera.
That would be awesome. That's what I mean.
I love him.
Are you kidding me? The guy that is
Carlton.
Yeah, from Fresh Prince. But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, so this is a really cool concept to have someone that's kind of like whatever. And you know how big reality TV is, or like TikTok people we were just talking about. Like, to be at the merch booth, think about that. That'd be cool. But they lose a cut of their money. So that's not cool.
And that's what I'm saying. And if anybody needs money, it's metal bands right now.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's
like,
unless she's doing it for free, maybe she's friends with them.
If she's doing it for free, that's so nice of her. And that's awesome that she's helping out the metal scene. That is, I do appreciate that. But it's like, you know, again, if it's, we are talking about it. So maybe that's another thing too. I mean, she's got like millions of followers on Twitter and she got the key of Los Angeles. I mean, it's
West
like maybe,
Hollywood.
Yeah. Maybe they're just trying to work that West Hollywood angle, you know?
Yeah.
So she could just kind of use that key and be like, I hate God, right on the street.
If we if we were a band, who would we want? What celebrity would we want to do our merch?
Like high ranking or like?
No, I'm not talking about Brad Pitt. I'm talking about like someone
there's
that
only one.
Keep on rocking, shout the devil.
Vince Neil. No, we would be no. He's too high ranking. He's not good.
That's too high ranking.
You need
Whoa,
to play that. You
are,
need to play that.
Keep on rocking, shout the devil, and
I've never heard of that.
Vince Neil. I'd want to do that blippy guy.
Hey, Alfonso Rivera, he does America's Funniest Home Video, so he's got...
That's
he's
a good
probably,
job.
That's a good job. He's probably making more money than Vince Neil, I'd imagine,
I would
right?
imagine, too. But I'm just saying, Vince Neil is part of Motley Crue. He's part of a stadium
yeah.
tour.
Yeah, but he also did, like, a fair
you
concert.
You know what Stormy Daniels is, to me, is I guess, I feel would make more money doing appearances than I Hate God. So, you know.
Yeah.
Appearances.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
saying
I'm
performing,
think.
You know. So, interesting.
Jenny Garth,
90210.
That's the name.
That's a
you
random
throw
one.
Up.
I'll take
Jenny
that all
Garth.
Day.
She came to mind.
That was actually a great one.
I would go with Brian Austin Green if we had to pick one
okay.
from 90210.
Okay, Brian Austin Green. That is a good
one. That is a good one.
I
we can't do AC Slater because he's like.
No, he's big.
No, he's big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I just realized this was a good idea on paper, but this is going nowhere, huh?
Right, right.
Moving on.
Give me Yasmine Bleeth.
Oh yeah, any Baywatch, former Baywatch
Donna
actress would be a big deal. Yeah, yeah. So moving on to the next story, guys. I do want to talk music, guys. Iron Maiden put out their first song in 6 years. I love it. I love all Iron Maiden. What do you guys think? I saw the video. I thought the video was great. It was like in the cartoon vein of, I don't know, heavy metal or whatever back in the day. But thoughts on the new Iron Maiden song? Are you guys disappointed or you're just like, hey, that's what I needed?
It sounds like an Iron Maiden song. Hey. It's good.
It's perfect, man. What about you?
I mean, it's Iron Maiden.
Okay.
That's all you got to say. It's Iron Maiden.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I didn't see the music video, okay. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen the music video, but again, it's Iron Maiden. And whenever they put out something, you take a knee and you just go, all right, it's Iron Maiden. That's it.
You take a knee.
You take a knee.
You're like, I'm going to propose to writing on the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, you know what? That's the thing. When I'm taking a knee, okay, let me get
What's
this.
What's more exciting for you?
I'm not protesting the song when I'm taking a knee. I'm just saying, like, you know,
it brings you to your knee.
I'm bending at the knee. Like, bending at the knee. Like, I'm saying, my liege. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, take my soul.
Yeah.
What's more exciting, and rank it in order, a new Metallica song, a new Iron Maiden song, or a new AC/DC song? Go.
I would say Iron Maiden.
I'd say Iron Maiden.
Me too, yeah.
I'd say Iron Maiden, then Metallica, then AC/DC.
Because AC/DC, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. AC/DC,
Iron Maiden, and Metallica, you're just
they
like,
they might
oh.
throw a loop yeah. in there.
Right, gotcha. Right. And that's the thing. And but you know, when you're looking at Iron Maiden, see, Iron Maiden, they're going to stay true to who they are. Metallica, they're the ones that might go, let's try something crazy. You know what I mean? And then we're stuck with
Saint Anger.
We're stuck with the Saint Anger.
But because AC/DC's got so little time left in the sphere of music, that's why I'd go Iron Maiden, AC/DC, then Metallica.
Okay.
That'd be my order right there. But Iron Maiden is going to be the most excited album I'm about. Because, I mean, every one of their records are great.
Well, they put in the work.
Yeah, they put in the work.
That's the thing. It's like when you're a band like Iron Maiden, it's not like... The beauty about Iron Maiden is they've never, ever, ever been obsessed with radio play. So they've just given us like music, and they don't fall into the same like 4 minute song mm-hmm. trap that a lot of guys fall into.
It's more like 5 minutes, right?
It's 5-6 minutes, and it's like there's a couple guitar solos. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a build up in the songs. It's like you just don't get that in music nowadays, especially with popular rock music.
Popular rock mm-hmm. music, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like
very structured.
And that's the
chorus,
thing.
Chorus.
Right. And the thing is with Iron Maiden, it's like, you know, they've always had like this impeccable way of writing songs and keeping it metal and keeping us all interested, especially when as their ages keep on advancing. Bruce is still killing it.
I think so.
You know, he still got
those pipes.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, he had throat. Didn't he have like throat cancer or something?
He did.
Yes, I remember.
Did he have
that.
The surgery or anything? Or
I think
did he
beat
it?
Yeah, I think he had surgery, but he was fine.
But and, dude, that's incredible. Yeah. You know,
it didn't fuck up his.
It didn't fuck up his voice. Now here's the deal: when Dave Mustaine had it, you were like, okay, you could kind of expect. Like, okay, Dave's
yeah,
voice is nowhere near. That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah.
He's nowhere near. Like when you have a guy like Bruce Dickinson singing the way he does. You know, and then for him to come back from having any kind of surgery, even if it was like polyps on his throat, it's like that's still going to knock you out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And for this guy to come back at that age to keep on killing it, dude.
Yeah, there's guys of that era that you look at that their voices are just intact. The Dee Snyders, the Bruce Dickinsons, the Joey Belladonnas, they're in their 60s, you know, all of them. And then you look at other guys from that era when you bring up the Vince Neils and stuff like that. And it's crazy how... and all those Motley Crue's on the same level as the bands I mentioned. They're just as popular as far as touring wise go. Not new music, obviously.
Way more popular than the bands you mentioned. I would say they have a way bigger draw, but I'm not saying it's right. But I mean, it's.
I don't know if they have a bigger draw than Iron Maiden.
Oh no, not than Iron Maiden.
Yeah, but I mean, I know what you're saying though. Oh, talking about like the Dee Snider and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Motley Crue probably has a bigger draw. You're right. But like the voices are. It's crazy how some people's can stay that way and others can't. And I wonder what the details are.
People that just take care of it.
Voice lessons.
Yeah,
They have voice coaches that are constantly like taking care of their voices, doing exercises daily or something.
It's impressive to me. I think that if you're 16, you can sound like
and
Bruce.
You have.
Snyder, who sounds great too. Yeah.
Certain diets, like we've talked about this. Like, if who was it? Was it Jamie Josta that said that he can't have pizza because if he eats pizza for 3 days, he can't sing
because of the
lactose and like the cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Like you can't do that.
Gets really phlegmy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a scream. I mean, but he screams, so maybe that probably attains to all singers. I'm sure.
But anytime you have to at least
caffeine hurts singers, right?
I think
caffeine's bad, dude.
I've heard that.
Like coffee.
That's why I can never be a singer.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is it because you can't sing?
I can't sing.
Let's focus.
But can I blame it on coffee?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, whatever. We'll let you off the hook. Now Sylvia sings. Like she sang like, you know, national anthems and stuff at baseball games.
No. Yeah. Sylvia can sing. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know who can sing?
Who?
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn could sing also, yes.
Yeah.
Who else?
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, Sheeran. It's just
how do you say his name? But I'm
Ed
sorry.
Sheeran.
Yeah, I'm gonna
but
get away.
I like that segue.
I don't know anything about this gentleman, but I did see that I looked at him. He's got a sleeve tattoo, and he looks like he's in a band like Fall Out Boy or something like that. I never heard a song by him. You just played a song.
Yeah, it's called "The Shape of You," and it was
you just
catchy.
Played a song for me, and I'm like, that sounds like I would think that's Justin Bieber.
Yeah. To me, it's Justin Bieber.
To me, I was like, that's this guy. Anyways, this guy that we're talking about, say his name?
Ed Sheeran.
Okay, thank you.
Sheeran.
Very popular cat, right? I know I'm sounding old right now. Very, very popular guy, but
he's friends with Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, uber popular as well. I'm glad they're friends.
They're BFFs.
I can see them touring together.
You know, just friends.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
But yeah. I love the statement he said, guys, and this is why we're talking about him on a metal show, is that he said when he was a kid, he was really into death metal. I listened to Cradle of Filth, Slipknot, and all that stuff. I'm not saying I could ever step into that world. I learned all those riffs on a guitar as a kid. That's something I've never thought about doing, but something I would not be opposed to creating. Now, I think if someone like Taylor Swift or this guy with the sleeve tattoo and the Ed Sheeran.
There you go.
If he put out a death metal record, I know his fan base would be in complete uproar, but I do feel there's going to be a large majority of that million people fan base that'd be like, I want to check out these bands.
I don't think his fan base would be so angry because they would know why he's doing it. I just think it would be the metal fans that would go, how dare he come into our world and fuck him. I just think they would immediately just shun him.
But I hear that, like, the Lady Gagas, we're talking about pop people, this guy, that are all like, talk really positive about obviously the heavy music scene. And if they did do some sort of crossover thing, I know Lady Gaga played with Metallica, but it backfired, right? Because there was some sort
something
of vocal
happened
problems.
No, I think there was something with the something backstage or whatever happened. I don't think it was anything vocals.
Okay, so I don't remember, but they tried to do a crossover and it didn't work but anyways my point is that I think that the fact that they promote these things continuously, and if they actually did leap into that music scene, I think a lot of the fan base would stay. Do you guys believe that, or do you think it'd be like, I can't do this?
Like his fan base?
His fan base would stay in the... you know what? If Ed Sheeran...
I think it'd be a very, very low percentage.
Jesus Christ.
So this is just...
Because you go from the Shape of You to, like, I don't know, Kill Me Softly with Knives.
Yeah.
Like a song like that.
Kill Me Softly with Knives?
Yeah. That's kind of sweet.
Wow.
That's a death
metal song. I don't
know. You have no darkness in you.
I don't.
With the way that you said that, you're like, Kill Me Softly with Knives.
I don't know.
It sounds fun.
Yeah. It sounds fun.
Fun way to die.
Yeah.
Softly.
Just sounds like somebody that has never thought.
Butter knives.
Yeah.
Butter
it
knives.
Sounds like somebody who's never had an evil thought in their head saying the first evil thought that came, like, kill me softly
butter
with knives. Butter knives.
Butter knives.
So we all know that Sylvia doesn't sing death metal.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. Clearly.
No.
She just tunes it, puts it on, and drifts away.
She does love Corpse Grinder.
Yes.
Oh, I fucking love that guy. He's a big teddy bear.
Big little lamb.
Yeah, he is. He loves going to Walmart and getting toys.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Well, that's true. So with that, so the Ed Sheeran death metal record is a big fuck you in your guys' mind.
I
wouldn't listen to it or buy it, but I just, like I said,
he'd
I think
be curious,
it's very good.
I would definitely want to hear it. I want to be like, what the fuck? Yeah, I just want to hear what he brings.
I don't think his fan, it'd be like a very small percentage of them staying.
Now, what
but
I would
like a hardcore fan.
What I want is I wanted Ed Sheeran to do something with like a mask, like a Slipknot type thing, then do the death metal thing. And then at the end, be like, see stupids.
Oh, like a mask.
I think he's like English. You got to.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, hey, you fucking blokes or whatever. You know, and
good job. You want to say bloody in a sentence?
Hey, you bloody blokes.
You want to use an English accent?
Yeah, you spotted dick.
You want to say cheers when you're leaving?
Hey, man, cheers, dude. I think I could fit.
All of it sounded horrible.
I think I could fit perfectly.
Oh, goodness. All
of
it.
Speaking
last
story, guys, before we get into our interview with Misha here. Let's talk about one more English gentleman. One more bloke, if we may.
I like blokes.
Are we say bloke?
Blokes are cool.
I don't want to say.
Wanker?
Maybe.
Wankstain?
You guys
now, wankers
tell me if this
aren't
is
cool.
A wanker.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Bloke or wanker? That's the game.
I'm a fan Wankstain. Of Bring Me the Horizon. I like Bring Me the Horizon. Ollie Sykes is a. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And Ollie Sykes, I think, great lead singer. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good guy to have in the scene.
Sure.
He recently got vampire fangs. Peter Steele did this back in the day and many other people. But I don't understand why. Yeah, he would get vampire fangs. His band's not exactly goth, right? I mean, there's a darkness to them.
Weren't they emo at one point?
They are. They're like it's that deathcore emo core.
Yeah,
I don't know where we landed.
But it's like radio friendly. But now they're using like computer generated sounds and stuff.
That last EP they did was great. I forgot the name. Postmodern something. It was really good. The album before that, I wasn't really on board.
Oh, yeah, like in his Instagram, where he posts a picture of him getting the fangs, and he's like, "I got bit." And I'm like, a little bat.
Yeah.
Emoji. I'm like, buddy.
Pre-fang? Yeah, exactly. That's how COVID got started. This guy got bit by the Wuhan. on bat.
So vampire fangs.
But
I think his girlfriend also has vampire
yes,
fangs.
Yes, she did.
Probably what there it is.
That's, you guys are dumb. I'm
couple.
Sorry.
They're couple. You said they're dumb.
They're dumb.
That they okay. got it.
Yeah.
Well, pre- couples get tattoos.
Good looking, couple.
Yeah. Yes.
They're, you know.
Pre fangs bloke. Post fangs wanker.
I can't.
Oh, man, stop. I mean, you used the terminology correctly, though.
Yes.
But, I was letting him go. Yeah, well, what is the what cosmetic surgery would you guys do with your...
nose job.
So you would be like, honey, let's go both get nose jobs? This is cosmetic surgery. I know it's teeth
oh,
surgery.
Oh, you're talking about like couple
like a couple
surgery?
Well, yeah, what I'm talking about... There's
what
couple
if I
tattoos.
Said I wanted a breast implant?
Well,
breast,
hey,
just one.
This is a modern... This is modern times, I guess... Couples can get breast
I don't know. Nippleplasty. I mean, I don't know.
Nippleplasty.
Making up shit. I don't know. I couldn't imagine getting any type of facial surgery or shit injected in my face or something. Like,
what
I can't
are, like,
do
those,
it.
Those implants that you put like on your face.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't do that. That's crazy.
Couples butt implants?
No, no. Well, yeah, no. Couples butt implants. They got that. No. I'm sure there's been some people out there where I'll smack your fake ass, but you got to smack mine.
No, but we're talking about like the, yeah. That you put like on your face.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's plastic pieces
like,
that you put up in your
oh,
cheekbones
yeah, like
that
you put,
makes
like
you look
horns.
Like some kind of a yeah, demon.
Horns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
yeah.
like how, worse than the fangs.
That's what I'm getting at. It's like, it's like how much do you need attention when you start doing that yeah. shit? You know what I mean? It's like, man, like, I get it, you know, live fast, die young. I get it, but god damn it, dude.
Isn't he in his 30s now?
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
He's in his 30s, there,
yeah. But he's a rock star.
Rockstars have rockstar mentality.
Yeah, when you do rockstar shit, you know, it's a different world. You know
I
what
guess.
I mean? There's always some kind of new reinventing thing. I'm sure, I heard next month he's actually going to get a bunch of wolf hair just surgically implanted into his skin, you know?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you read that?
Star Magazine.
Star Magazine. Yeah. Fucking.
I was looking for a wanker joke.
Killing me slowly with knives. Digest.
Shit, man. Try to be hardcore.
Killing me slowly.
With knives. With knives. Digest.
Digest.
Fuck, man.
Monthly.
All right, guys. Yeah. So with that, fantastic. I don't think you should do couples cosmetic, but
probably
this is
not.
Cute. Hey, they love each other.
I mean, I guess you
hey,
can't
I
really
them,
see
they're
it.
Licking each other's teeth right now.
I
guys.
Want, yeah, yeah. I want them to, I look,
why
as long as they're happy, as long
I don't
as they're
lick
happy.
Teeth, but, I mean, if I had fangs, I'd want somebody to lick my teeth.
Well, you know what? No.
Fucking weirdo.
If I had fangs, I'd want to, like, I'd
like,
want to bite somebody.
Tell me
yeah, you
want
to bite someone.
Want
that's why you have fangs.
If you're my partner, you got to make me feel like I didn't make stupid decisions, and you got to be like, I like those, and by
let
by
me lick
them.
It.
Yes.
Oh, that's
be,
nice.
Oh, you really did?
But
I
then again,
like
no,
your teeth.
But okay,
now, you're
now when
me
you
feel
get
good
home,
about myself.
When you get home, what I want you to do yes. is I just want you to kiss your wife, but I want you to rub your tongue across the top of her teeth. Just like across it.
Yeah.
And see how she reacts to that.
And see how clean those teeth are.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like underneath. So you can, it's between the lip and the teeth. I just need you to put your tongue and just be like, ring, like right across it. See how she reacts.
And then think about what
she'll
you
be
said.
Like, yeah, what was that all about?
Why would I do that if she didn't cosmetically change something?
Because I want you to give her an idea of what it's like to have her teeth licked. And no matter if you have a fang or not, it's probably going to be weird. You know?
You get fangs to, like, be bitey.
Yeah, to be bitey. Yeah. See, Pete just makes love. It's all missionary. And maybe
moving on to the interview.
And the occasional pile driver. And the occasional pile driver, but he doesn't.
It's not enough with this.
Occasional pile driver.
Oh yeah,
pile driver is a normal sex move. Move
that's,
on.
Yeah, that's
move
we've
on.
Already had that conversation, Sylvia. Normal sex move. Out of
normal.
All of us, Pete is the most vanilla guy, and he's the only one that goes pile driver. Oh yeah, it's just industry standard.
Yeah. Moving on. That's
what?
It's industry standard. Come on, we all know that there's the three.
He's
three,
like that's what
three
people
position
do.
Rule, and a pile yeah. driver is one of them.
We've all fun. Saw. We've all oh seen Top God. Gun. We saw Tom Cruise layer down, and with the blue backdrop and stuff, and that pile driver was given.
Lightheaded.
I apologize for where we went.
We saw silhouettes in pile driving.
Killing me softly with knives. Let's jump into our interview with Misha from Periphery.
Dude, let me just ask you this. Do you ever revisit like movies or music that you know you don't like, hoping you will like it years later? Do you do that on a regular basis like myself?
I wouldn't say that I do it regularly, and I wouldn't say that I do that with everything, but there are some key bands in my life that, and maybe movies, but less so movies, but like there's some bands that ended up being some of my favorite bands. At the first time, or the first times I listened, I was like, I just don't get it. But I think there's also a component of, like, I don't get it, but I somehow can tell there is something here. Because otherwise, I'd be like, I don't like this, but not fuck this band. Or I'd be like, I don't get why everyone likes this. Like, what am I missing? You know, like, there'll be something like that. But why do you ask?
I ask because I have this love affair with the film Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny, and I've never liked it. But I revisit it every 3 to 4 years to be like, I'm going to really like it this time. And every time I'm like, God, I just really like the band.
That's funny.
I revisit that film all the time.
I don't know that there's a movie that's quite like that where, like, even after repeated... Because normally it's like either I'll give it a few shots and then I'm like, okay, it's just not for me. I might be having this with, like, some Wes Anderson stuff right now. Because I really hated Wes Anderson, like, when I first became aware of him. I was just like, I don't get these movies. I don't like them. And then he came out with The Grand Budapest Hotel, which I think is just one of the best... I think that's just one of the best movies ever made. And then there was Moonrise Kingdom, which I actually really liked. And then I was like, okay, so maybe I do like Wes Anderson. Maybe it's worth another shot. So I watched The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, and I thought that was good. Like, some people will say that's his, like, crowning achievement, but I still think Grand Budapest Hotel is his best. And now, like, I'm being told, like, oh, check out Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore, which I hated. So maybe that will be my experience now. Because I saw those, like, you know, a long, long time ago, and I was kind of like, fuck this guy. But now maybe I'll like them. We'll see.
I think those are worth it, but no one's telling you to watch the Darjeeling Limited for a reason, okay? I've revisited that.
Yeah, I watched that.
Oh, you did?
I watched that, and I thought that sucked. Like, I was like, I did not like it.
that I revisited it, like, 3 times because I'm like, because Grand Budapest, when that came out, I think that was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like you with the Wes Anderson. It's like, I get it, but I don't get it. Like, I see his movies. They're original. They're amazing. I think the one that hit me the hardest was, like, Fantastic Mr. Fox. I love that book, right? And I think I loved the movie. So I'm like, let me revisit a couple things. But I was in the same boat where I'm like, eh. But, dude, Grand Budapest Hotel is a perfect movie. Like, on every
level. Maybe that was a turning point where it was just like he... Because for me, a lot of his stuff was sort of like form over function. And it's great. He's got such a unique style. You can identify it, you know, from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like Grand Budapest was like where now that style became secondary to, like, fantastic stories and characters, you know, as opposed to those being the you know, what the main point is, the characters over the story and the style over the story. I've been told to watch Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs because I probably will like those a lot. So those are next on the list.
I do. I'm going to say it to me. Isle of Dogs, good, but it did not hold with me. But Fantastic Mr. Fox really did. I don't know. That voice, George Clooney having that fox's voice was like, that's what I saw as a kid was George Clooney's voice with that fox. So it all came back with the Roald Dahl books and all that stuff that I used to own. But
I have no attachment or knowledge of that, so I'll be just going in raw, as it were.
See, that might actually be a factor, now that I think about it. That's a good point. Yeah, because I did love it. Like, I remember watching The Witches as a kid, and because I knew the book, I thought the movie was amazing. And then revisited it years later, and I'm like, it's just, it's... When you read a book, though, everybody, I got Misha on the phone, Bulb, Periphery. We're here to talk, before we keep going on to this, because we're going to keep talking, but we're here to talk about the new record, my friend, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious. It's coming out 7/16, guys. That's July 16th. Make sure you guys are picking it up, pre-ordering it. And we're going to jump into that record real quick. What I was going to say is that when you read a book, right, when you get through the whole book and then you watch the movie, even though the movie rarely lives up to the book, sometimes it does, isn't that experience like you conquered a video game? Like, oh, Interview with a Vampire, I read you, I watched you, you're done. You know, like, isn't it that feeling? Do you get that feeling too?
I don't have too much experience with that. I would say what you're talking about is probably at least a factor in why comic book movies, and especially like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has been so successful. I know a lot of people who read the comics, and even if it has nothing to do, or even if the movie's quite different, they never in their life thought that they would get to see it on the silver screen. So just, even if they know the movie's not going to be good, the opportunity for that experience to see the book that they, you know, mm-hmm. you call it a book, graphic novel, whatever. You know, I had that with Watchmen. Oh, I love the graphic novel. And then I thought the movie was really cool. And I was like, and I remember reading the graphic novel and being like, this would make for a great movie, you know? And an even better TV series, as it turned out.
Yes.
That was very true to the graphic novel, more so than the movie.
I agree. And Alan Moore, like V for Vendetta, I thought the movie wasn't as good as the. I thought the graphic novel was amazing. Did you get a chance to read that one too?
I didn't. And I liked the movie a lot.
It was good. But the graphic novel, it was just so.
I probably should read that. I don't have enough time for all my hobbies anymore. It sucks. I haven't been reading graphic novels as much as I used to.
Yeah. You have to, in order to read, I say this all the time, because I have to stop. Life is fast, man. In order to read, it's like I got nothing to do, and you have to slow life down to a pace where it's like I'm doing nothing. Now let me jump into reading. And how often does that really happen for us in modern times? Like, for me,
I need less hobbies. That's the problem. I have too many hobbies. I already struggle juggling the ones that I have. Like, you know, I would, you know, people are like, you know, I'm bored. I'm like, I would kill to be bored right now. I would love it. Oh. In fact, today was a day I had planned to do nothing. Originally, I planned this day to be a day I do nothing, be an actual lazy day, because I've been kind of just on it for I don't know how long. And I was like, I'm going to make this day a lazy day. And actually, you're my second interview of the day. So, like, I'm not even good at sticking. And I still consider this to be a lazy day, because this isn't that much work, you know? But it's like, it's hard. It's very hard sometimes.
I'm the same way, man, because, yeah, I'm the same way. I feel like there is no, yeah, I feel like there is no lazy day. I miss the days of virtually, and I mean, people probably experience this now. I think younger people, maybe older people, like, of playing a video game when I got it new for like 12 hours and just not like being in some sort of zone where I don't need sleep, food, or anything, you know, like, and I haven't had that feeling in decades, man, you know, and
it's tough. I agree with that. I mean, actually, as we were recording, we're working on the new Periphery album. Mm. We've been obsessed with this game, Hades. Which we've all been, it's a single player game. Yeah. We've just been playing next to each other. But, like, you know, all of us except for Jake were playing it. Jake was playing Final Fantasy 14, which is arguably way deeper and more addicting. But, we're, you know, that's a game where, like, actually, I was having conversations with Mark where I was like, I don't remember the last time, like, a game, like, commanded this much attention for me. Like, it's,
beautiful.
It's perhaps a dangerous game to recommend, but I do love it.
Does it get in the way of writing and recording the new album, or does it help because you guys are
bonding? It helps.
It helps. I would think.
No. It's not even bonding. Mm-hmm. It's. I mean, sometimes we'll play. We were talking about it. It's like, you know, every album, because we're all gamers. It's mm-hmm. like every album has had a game that sort of dominated it. And this time, I guess it'll have been Hades. Last time, funny enough, it was Mario Party.
Oh,
but
dude.
It was like, but it was just a way. But we had to stop playing it sometimes because it would make us so mad. We just get so mad, like at the end of an hour, just be like, you know, be like, God damn, you know, like, how did I lose that? I know it's so silly, but, like, that one was a bonding one because, like, you get to, you know, four people can play it together. There's not a lot of, like, four-player co-op games that you can play like that. But it's just time where you're not recording. Like, more important than anything, it's just time to just not think about music, not think about anything else. It, like, forces your brain into something else. So when you go back to it, you have a bit of a fresher perspective on it.
Yes.
Fatigue's a very real thing. And, you know, we work fairly fast. So despite the fact that I always say this about every Periphery session, it feels like we're just hanging out and playing video games and yet an album comes out of it, you know? Nice. That's how you know it's a good writing session because, you know, it doesn't feel like very much work. It doesn't take that long. Like we can work fairly quickly. So So it's just about making sure we're in the right mindset and not burning ourselves out, which can happen so easily if you don't kind of have safeguards in place for that.
Dude, and that you gave me a segue as an interviewer because you said you guys work fairly quickly. I think that you guys, you know, work moderately fast and adequately furious, if I may.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
that's beautiful. That's well done.
And so, because I will talk more about Mario Party, but I think everybody out there that has experienced it needs to just stick with how amazing that game is. And my family bonds with that game. So I will, that and Mario Aces, we'll talk about it all day. But I need to segue over to this, to the record, man. I loved it, man. I loved the fact, I loved all the volumes you put out. On the Three Dot Recording label, man. And I think it is, like, to me, it was like, this is like a you know how people write journals and stuff like that? Like, this is your musical journal, man, you know, for all the way till we get to the new album. But tell me about releasing all those volumes ahead of time before we got here to the latest release.
Yeah, well, first off, it's never been described as a musical journal before, but I like that. It's a pretty apt description. And I like the way that sounds. It's pretty accurate. So I felt in a way that it was just sort of sitting there, you know, in the ether. And I'd see people post stuff up on YouTube and, you know, it would have some views and comments and whatever. I'm like, shouldn't I be putting this out in some official capacity? And then once we started the record label, then we had the perfect vessel to do so. So my manager and I talked about, like, what would be the best way to do it. And I sort of curated, like, you know, because it's not everything. It's just sort of like the most important ones, I figure. But it's just nice, maybe even just for posterity, just to know that it's out there in some official capacity. People are like, well, where do I hear this? You know, and you don't want to have, like, people are trading, like, Dropbox links of, like, this stuff like it was, like, a mixtape, you know, which I guess is kind of cool. But I'm like, well, maybe it should be a little easier to access. Everyone's got some streaming service, and if you don't, you can go to YouTube. So this way everyone can go check it out if they want. But it wasn't supposed to be like a big thing or a big deal. It was just kind of like a nice way to maybe bookend the journal, if you will.
Yeah, dude. No, I thought it was fantastic, and I really liked it because, you know, you released them all, if I'm not mistaken, within a year, correct?
Yeah, like each volume, I think, was 2 weeks out from each there's other. Enough time to digest it.
Yes.
And then move on to the next one, yeah.
Yeah, and so for that whole journey for us, you know, it was really, you saw different pockets of your sound and the things you can do and all that stuff, and it was really cool. And on the new record that we're talking about, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, guys, out July 16th, people, you do redo some of the versions of the songs on those volumes, if I may.
Yeah, there's four, mm-hmm. So they're the Redux tracks, you know. The thing is that, like, everything that's in the archives was like a demo or just, it was just something I just posted up, but never necessarily complete or attempting to be complete. It was just something I'm working on, something I think is cool, whatever. Whereas the solo album is the first time that I'm like, okay, I want to have this official, completed version of the song. So it's like, I want to do these songs justice. These are four songs I've always wanted to kind of take a proper stab at so I could feel good about them. And I feel pretty good about the way that they came out, so, which is why they're on the album. So, it's like, I felt like, and there's other songs that I would like to give that treatment to, but I didn't want the album to just be that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of stuff, because I'm always writing, that would technically count as like an archive thing. I just never posted. So but it could be from that era or older, whatever, or newer. So there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to rework or put on a solo album that you guys wouldn't know is reworked, but I do, you know? Mm. So it's just a lot of stuff, a lot of material.
Dude, it's awesome that we get our ears on it. Now, you don't have any plans, though, if I read correctly, to perform any of these songs live, correct? This is just
kind of a
personal thing.
Yeah, it's a total personal thing.
Love it.
Selfish pursuit.
It can't be selfish if you share it with people and you make their lives better. That's the opposite.
Oh, but that's
selfish.
Not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is that the goal. I have no problem admitting that it's selfish. It's a completely selfish pursuit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though. But it's just, it is what it is. I wanted to put this out. I wanted it to be the way I wanted it to be. I don't want to play it live. I don't want the responsibility of that. And then I want to move on to other stuff, you know?
Absolutely, dude. One of the highlights, though, I do want to touch base on. I'm sure that you've talked about it a lot, but you collaborated with your brother on the track Far Too High. Highlight on the record. What was it like collaborating with him? Did you collaborate in the past with him on music by chance?
So this was collaborating in the past. This song is like 4 or 5 years old at this point. And I just wanted to put it out in an official capacity. It's hard because, you know, like at that point in time, I mean, he's been working on his music career. He's more in the pop singer-songwriter side of things. And he's, you know, I think there's definitely been an aspect of him feeling like he's in my shadow and he hasn't seen quite as much success. And that could be difficult. So I didn't really want to, like, I think that if he ever got anything, he wanted to feel like it was his, on his own merit. And I always wanted to respect that. And now he's doing well for himself, so I'm very glad, you know, because he's the more talented. Between us two, he's definitely more talented than me. But, you know, as we know, that's not what determines success in this industry, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I always did want to collaborate with him, and then, like, you know, after that, that was a really easy collaboration, you know. We have surprisingly good writing chemistry, and that song came together very, very quickly. And I was always very happy with it. And I wanted to do more, but the timing has just never worked out. You know, we talked, you know, as recently as a few days ago, being like, we should work on something. Whether or not that happens, you know, that's a different story. But, like, I very much would like to continue to collaborate with him because I think it would be fun. And then that wouldn't be Bald. That would be, like, you know, another side project or whatever. But, like, this was, in a sense, a proof of concept, you know?
Yeah, that sounds really cool. And this is, I'm going to segue into the record label, you know, Three Dot Recordings, for everybody that doesn't know. I talked to Jake when you guys put out the first album, and it was great. You guys got to experiment. It was an electronic album at that time, and now you guys are putting out all these other projects that you get to do. Tell me about the freedom, and how much work is it, though, to really get into running your own label and doing everything your guys' self for this stuff?
Well, I'm going to be honest. It's a ton of work, but it's a ton of work that our manager has taken on. We would not be able to run it without his help. Like, he is the linchpin to the operation there. I mean, he's such an integral part of the band and everything that we do. You know, so that's what makes it make sense. But we're all very involved. I mean, we have weekly calls about, you know, the business. We treat it like the business that it is, and the freedom that you get is wonderful. You know, I think the one thing that we learned as a band is that when you have a vision for something, sometimes you're the best person to get things done. And, you know, I say this as someone who's produced bands, you know, like, a producer is great when you have these raw ideas and you need someone to sort of shape it. But if you already know what you want that to be, sometimes a producer, all they'll do is butt heads with you. And this kind of works at every level, be it management or label or whatever. Sometimes it's just better if you know exactly what you want. Sometimes it's just better to do it yourself. And this was our experiment with the label side of it, and that's been very successful so far. It was definitely the right call for us. It's not necessarily the right call for everybody, but we had such a clear vision of what we wanted, and it was sort of the last piece of the puzzle so that we're no longer butting heads. You know, we'd always engineer our contracts and everything so that we'd have complete freedom. But that doesn't mean that you're not still having conversations or you're not at odds with people on your team. Now we're not at odds with anyone on our team. We can just kind of do the things we want to do as efficiently as we'd like for them to be done. So the Three Dot Recordings experiment so far, and knock on wood, has been and will continue to be a success for us.
Beautiful, man. Now, do you give yourself deadlines, though, because you guys are kind of in charge of all that on the recordings you're doing, or do you just kind of let it be organic and when it's done, it's done?
Well, that's a tricky one. That's a very good question. I think if we didn't give ourselves deadlines at all, there would be nothing ever released. At the same time, these hard deadlines that were inflexible were one of the worst parts about our old management. You know, it's mainly deadlines coming from management rather than a label. But our current manager understands that the music is sacred, you know, and we set these soft deadlines, but if we need to push it back, he's like, well, is pushing this back going to make the music better? And we say yes, and then he's like, well, then it's fine. So for him, like, the music, everything starts with the music. There's no point. I think there's even a quote like that for, like, for games that are delayed. I forget who said that. I think it was a Nintendo designer. It was like, you know, nobody wants an incomplete game, right? So it's better to delay it. I'm paraphrasing. I forget the exact quote, but same thing with the music. It's like, music needs to be right, whether or not it allows you to hit the deadlines you wanted or whatever. It's better to just take the time to make it right. And it's nice to not have pressure, to the contrary. So we have, like, soft deadlines, and we have goals that we set, and we try to meet them. And if we don't, it's not the end of the world.
I mean, I think that's the dream way to work. And very few of us, I think, get that, you know? I think a lot of us are live or die by the deadline. And then when we say when, it's like, I didn't want to say when, but it's good enough, you know? It is a tough pill to swallow, knowing it was good enough. Did you ever feel like that at any part in the beginning of your career, where you just had to say when to something, where you wish you had more time on it by chance, or no?
Yeah, but then we just delay the album because it's unfathomable for us to put out something that we weren't happy with. So then we delay it, get into shouting matches with our old manager who didn't understand that. And then you just have this stress and you just feel like rotten about it. But it's like, no, like, we can't put this out, you know, like, this has to be delayed. Oh, well, this screws up the timeline for this touring and this release. It's like, I don't care. That doesn't matter. Like, what matters is what we're putting out is going to outlast whatever tour we do. So it's good to have a manager that understands that. And, you know, people on the team who understand that. It's really just aligning your visions with people that understand what the goal is.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. That's great, man. I'm so glad it's working out, man, with 3-Dot Recording. So on the new record, one more time, everybody, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, July 16th. We're going to play some tracks after the interview, so you guys are going to get to check it out. It's going to be great. But on this record, because so much of it was the revisit, see what I just did? I called back what I did at the beginning there. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Was about the revisit. What did you learn more about yourself as a player when you had to do the Redux versions of these songs?
I don't think I learned very much about myself as a player. I don't really put very much focus on myself as a player. It's just more like as a composer or whatever. Like, that's a more interesting side. You know, I just see what's sort of rough around the edges, and I changed the parts I didn't like. So that was nice, too. I got to fix the stuff that I was like, compositionally, this is not sitting with me anymore. I think we can do better. But then sometimes it's like, no. I like it. It's not touch it. No need to. It ain't broke, right? So it's just getting another pass at it to try to make it as good as I possibly could make it.
Nice. Now, compositionally wise, what's the difference between a demo track that you guys do in Periphery to what you're doing by yourself? Is it, do you guys write in a group atmosphere, or is it kind of, you do? So that's what the difference is, pretty much.
Yeah, and I hate writing solo albums. Mm. It's so nice to write with your friends and, like, people you trust and just being able to, like, bounce ideas off of each other. That energy is easy and fun and exciting. And, like, the solo album is just tedious and second-guessing constantly. I don't really enjoy it. I did it because I felt I should, and I kind of wanted to do it, and it would be a challenge. You know, sometimes you do things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the result, but man, it was a labor of love. And it's a lot of stress, a lot of second guessing, and things that could get resolved very quickly in a band setting by just being like, yep, yes or no, what do you think? You know, it's a lot harder when you're doing it on your own. It's the reason why, for all the albums and side projects I've done, and those side projects are always with someone else, they're always a collaboration effort. The solo album, which I've been talking about for over 15 years now, is only just coming out. So you can see there's one sort of dynamic I prefer.
Now, was there a trusted person that you let listen to, or were you like, it's all me? I'm the one making decisions. I'm keeping this internal. as your
No. I showed you know, the bandmates. I showed my brother.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what I needed was feedback. And I think when people don't have the responsibility of putting it out and they can just listen, they're like, yeah, it's great, you know? And it's very different when you're like, you're putting it out and it's representing you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My brother gave me some very good feedback, though, like on a couple things where he was like, yeah, this is not quite there. And I was feeling the same way. And like, he's like, yeah, that's something not quite right. And like, you know, he gave me some suggestions on how to fix it, and eventually we got it right. And I actually wanted him there. I was like, yo, could you just hang out with me for a few days and like go over this and like tell me what you think? But he was busy. That was the problem. But at least he was honest with me, which I liked, you know? And I think it made for a better result.
Dude, I think the record's fantastic. I can't wait for people to get their hands on it. But yeah, the track you guys collaborated on is it's a highlight. You know, it's sequenced perfectly right in the middle of the record. And I think fans...
Oh, that's not the track. That track came together really easily. He was helping me with the,
something
with
the else. Arrangement. My bad.
Yeah, it was on some of the electronic stuff. Those two electronic tracks. Like I'm really happy with them now, but there was a point in time where like Download Happiness was not quite right. And it needed a little bit of work. And eventually I got it with his help to like the place. It was more like I was just sending it like, all right, did I fix it now? He's like, no, not yet. Still, you know, and then like eventually he was like, okay, now I feel good about this. And I'm like, cool, because I feel good about it too. You know? So it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of that you could trust, who will tell you when it's not. You know, that's the trick. It's like you have to trust them, and they also will be honest enough to be like, yeah, this isn't quite there yet.
Those people are few and far between for a lot of us, man. Like you just said, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, so it's beautiful that you found such a great team. And, you know, not only that, but with your brother on this record, that is beautiful. But we're going to move on to the next team. Last question for you, everybody, one more time. Bulb, the new record, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, is out July 16th. Periphery 5, you just said you guys are playing Hades and doing some music on the side. How is it? Give us an update. What's going on with that album right now?
We're just writing. I think one of the lessons that we learned with Periphery 4, Periphery 4 is like the album that we're the most satisfied with after it's been out. You know, you always have regrets like, oh, I could have done this, could have done that. But I've never been so satisfied with the record, and I know for a fact that the rest of the guys feel the same way. So albums are always compromised. There's always a level of compromise when you're in a band because you're with other human beings who have slightly different tastes. And I feel like that was the least compromised and the most satisfying album that we did. And the only thing we did different is we took time. Normally, we'll write very quickly because that's how we work. And then we'll put it out. And then we sort of sit on it and see how we feel about it. And with Periphery 4, because we were the label, we were just like, no, we'll just take as long as we want. And we did a few sessions. And then when we would come back, we could be like, okay, this is great, but now after a few months, I'm not that stoked about this anymore. What can we do to fix it? And we just fix it, and we did a few sessions like that, and then by the time we were done, everybody was happy with everything, you know? And it stood the test of time, and then the proof comes from the fact that, like, even a few years later, I still feel very warm about every aspect of that album, for the most part, you know? So the goal is just to do the same thing. So we just finished our second writing session, and we're just writing. We're just seeing how we feel. And a large part of this is going to be taking time away, doing other stuff, coming back to it and taking a very honest look, because we're real stoked on the stuff we did because we wrote a bunch of stuff, and that's great. But maybe by the time the next section comes around, we'll be like, you know, this isn't really as strong as I thought it was now that I have some time. And hopefully that'll help us just make sure that we're getting absolutely the strongest material that we can. And that, more importantly, we will feel good about it well after it's released.
Absolutely. As a fan who is impatient, do whatever you did. Take your time, because Periphery 4 was perfect for me. So I want you guys to do the
thanks,
same
man.
Thing, man. Then I got a live record with most of the songs on it. So I'm all about it. You know, like, you guys take your time. You found your groove. You found the way to work, to collaborate with your partners and all that stuff. And I think that you guys are super lucky that you finally got that dynamic. You know it. You know how to do the music. And us fans, like I said, take your time. When we get it,
I will say we're lucky, but we also engineered the dynamic. Mm. We realized that this is what we need, and so many parts of this equation sometimes work counter to that. So that's why we have our manager. That's why we own our label. That's why we approach the band the way that we do, and why we don't just tour all year long, and why there's so many deliberate things that have been done, and why we have the relationship we do with the members, where it's like sort of engineered for this, and where everyone agrees on these fundamental approaches and principles. Because it's not right for everybody, it's not right for every band, but it's what's right for us. So now we can just focus on writing and having fun, and it's not about egos, it's not about anyone else, it's not about anything other than, like, we want to make music that we can feel proud of. And if people like it, that's great, but that really just never matters to us that much. Like, we have to be stoked on it, and that's really the only thing that that factors in.
Perfect answer. That's what I like to hear as a fan. It is, and that's truly it. You guys are the litmus test for your own stuff, and if you love it, the chance of us loving it is going to be the same. So with that,
I hope so.
Yes, dude. I it's been proven with Hail Stan. So if I may, we've got one proven example. But one more time, guys, before I let you go, Misha, I really appreciate you taking the time to do the interview. But Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, the solo record from Bulb. Guys, it's coming out July 16th. With that, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in to the Metal Sucks podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Talk to you guys soon enough.
the Metal Sucks Podcast.
And we are back, my friends. Both songs off the new solo record, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, from Bulb. That is a.k.a., of course, Misha Mansour from Periphery, guys. It came out this last Friday. Make sure you guys are picking it up. Great tracks. First song you heard, guys, Upload Apathy. Second song, the one he did with his brother, Axel. That is Far Too High. Again, Moderately Fast, Adequately Furious, out now, guys. Make sure you're picking it up. With that, I want to thank everybody out there in the podcasting world for all the five-star reviews you keep hooking us up with on the Apple iTunes.
You guys are good blokes.
You guys are good blokes, and some of you wankers out there, it's cool.
You know what? No, it's not cool. You're a wanker. But my thing
wanker's giving us the one stars. It's okay.
Is it's it?
Still a star,
no,
right?
Yeah, still a star.
I don't know.
Really?
Don't know. Wankers, wankers are going to wank.
I feel like if they gave us one star and didn't listen, I'm mad. If they made it through a whole episode and they're like, you know what's the best one? There was a review. I know we're off topic now. But guys, 5-star reviews on iTunes. There's a review like, I really like the interviews, but I can't stand the banter between the show. And I'm like, and it was a 1-star. And I'm like, well, if you like the interviews, man, give me some credit. Give me 2.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
That means an hour, 35 minutes of the show you like, you know? Yeah. So anyways, but moving on.
5 stars.
5-star review.
That's Wanker's going to wank. Wanker's going to wank.
Oh, you doubling down on that.
Doubling down and make it a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, guys, I want to thank everybody for listening to our other podcast, Rise to Offend. We have over 100 episodes right now, guys, out there. It is a documentary discussion podcast. Many metal fans will enjoy our topics on there, the figures we cover. So make sure you are checking out Rise to Offend, my friends. If you haven't, a ton of artists that have done very offensive stuff and where they stand in our legacy today. It's fun talk, fun chat. Make sure you guys do check out that podcast. And with that, I will not lick teeth or pile drive.
What a good man.
You're going to pile drive, you freak.
Came to get down.
She called me a freak.
I know.
She did.
Well, hey, look, when pile driver is your norm.
Use a freak.
Use a freak. No.
Use a freak.
Oh, God, you guys are killing me
softly. With knives.
Next week. See ya.
The Metal Sucks Podcast is signing off.